This is Akashvani. In the weekly program, Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on significance of World Heritage Day. The participants are Dr. G.G. Saxena, Member, National Tourism Advisory Council, and Professor Vipul Singh from Department of History, Delhi University. The moderator is Arjun Chaudhary.
I'm joined by our esteemed experts, Dr. G.G. Saxena, who's a member at the National Tourism Advisory Council, and Professor Vipul Singh, a Department of History at Delhi University. And today, we would be discussing in detail the significance of the World Heritage Day, which is April 18, and how important the 43 UNESCO sites are for India's legacy as far as India is concerned and for the future generation. According to the UNESCO website, India's 43 UNESCO World Heritage Sites, which include the Taj Mahal, the Ajanta and Ellora Caves, the Shanti Niketan, which was declared as the 41st UNESCO World Heritage Site recently. And we'll try and understand that what are the measures being taken to preserve our heritage, what is the importance of it, and what is the Prime Minister, Shri Narendra Modi's vision regarding our heritage. So, Dr. Saxena, let's begin by asking you, as member of the National Tourism Advisory Council, what is the significance in economic terms of our heritage sites in India?
As per our Prime Minister's theme, that India should go for Vikas Bhi, Virasat Bhi. So, we have 43 UNESCO sites inscribed for India. Out of this, 35 are cultural, means monuments, and 7 are natural. One is combined, Kanchenjunga site. So, from tourism point of view, we get more tourists, foreign tourists, $120 per day one tourist pays. And also domestic tourists, almost 3 crore domestic tourists take visits inside India. But foreign tourists is having special significance, and they would like to see generally inscribed monuments. Like if they come to Delhi, they would like to see Humayun Ka Maqbara, then Qutub Minar, then Lal Qila, which are UNESCO inscribed 3 sites. Ahmedabad and Jaipur are 2 World Heritage cities in India now.
Dr. Saxena, I would like to ask once again from you, what is our annual revenue from tourism when it is linked to the World Heritage Sites in India?
After COVID, we are recovering foreign exchange earning, and you will be happy to know that last year we earned $33 billion as foreign exchange. As I told you, 19 million foreign tourists come to India, which includes NRIs, and on an average, one tourist spends $120 per day, and average in India stays around 22 days, where they stay around 12 days in Kerala, backwater, then 5-6 days in Rajasthan. Unfortunately, in Delhi, they stay only for 2.5 days, but 35% land in Delhi only, all foreign tourists. It is like this. And domestic tourists, good earning is there, but as compared to foreign tourist arrival, the earning is almost one-tenth or less than that.
Honorable Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi explained India's vision of Vikas with Virasat at the Bharat Mandapam.
Bharat ka to vision hai, Vikas bhi, Virasat bhi. Bite 10 varshon mein, Bharat ne ek aur aadhunik vikas ke naye aayam chhuye hain. Wahin virasat par garv ka sankalp bhi liya hai. Humne virasat ke samrakshan ke liye abhutpurva kadam uthaye. Kashi mein Vishwanath corridor ho, Ayodhya mein Ram mandir ka nirman ho, prachin Nalanda Vishwavidyalay ka aadhunik campus banana ho, desh ke kone kone mein aise anekon kaam ho rahe hain. Virasat ko lekar भारत के इस संकल्प में पूरी मानवता की सेवा का भाव जुड़ा है.
Professor Vipul Singh, as the Department of History at Delhi University, what is your take on the heritage sites? Could you give us an idea to our listeners on Akashvani, the kind of time, effort and cost that went into building these heritage sites? And could the builders themselves have ever thought of what would happen in the future in terms of the tourism footfalls in India?
Let me begin with what is the vision of the Prime Minister. And I think it's very apt, like when he says that Virasat Bhi, Vikas Bhi, that is when we break it, we can call it as heritage as kind of a development also. So heritage as well as the development, these two should go together. And I think when The government is talking about these virasat, the heritage, and the prime minister's emphasis is so much on these virasat. I think his vision is to restore and conserve the historical monuments. And as we know that India is so very rich, it's an ancient society, and it is so very rich in terms of the monuments. So that's one of the important aspects which the prime minister has been emphasizing on. And I think there are new projects like, you know, the revamping of the Kashi Vishwanath corridor and the Somnath temple complex that was done earlier, and now Ayodhya, and many more new monuments and sites that are being developed. I think these are adding to what India intends to do. And I think this is also very important because there are a few things which are very significant for tourism development. And if we look at a few of the models for the world, like we have one very interesting model which every country is trying to follow. And I think India can take some cue from them, and then India being such an ancient civilization can actually grow on that. I think Jordan's Petra is one of the examples, because Jordan's huge amount of economy is dependent on Petra's tourism. And similarly, if we go to Rome, Rome is so much rich in terms of tourism that it gives a lot of revenue to Italy. And I think these heritage sites could be an important part of revenue for India, and especially after the COVID, when everything opened up and government is emphasizing so much on promotion of these tourism, especially the cultural tourism. So I think that is very important. And we should not forget that India has a very rich heritage of sites. Like we have many Indus Valley sites, like we have Dholavira, and then many more sites are coming up. And then we have very important monuments, like Delhi is one of the hubs. We have the monuments right from Qutub Minar, Red Fort and Umayyad Tomb. But if you look at the earlier sites, like we have many of the stepwells which can be revived, and then that can be a good attraction for the visitors. So apart from these Delhi monuments, I think there is an emphasis to look at these sites like Hampi. And I think this is one of the most rich sites that can attract a lot of foreign visitors and even the Indian visitors.
On the occasion of World Heritage Day, which is April 18, Honorable Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi gave an address at the 46th session of the World Heritage Committee at the Bharat Mandapam, where he spoke about historical monuments, including the Qutub Minar complex. But there is also the Ashoka pillar, which is made of iron, and its composite material, which is not yet rusted. So he also mentioned about how important science has been combined with building materials, which is a part of India's legacy and heritage.
यहाँ आपको कदम कदम पर ऐतिहासिक विरासतों के दर्शन होंगे। यहाँ से करीब 15 किलोमीटर दूर ही कई टन का एक लोह स्तंभ है, एक ऐसा स्तंभ जो 2000 वर्षों से खुले में खड़ा है, फिर भी आज तक रस्ट रेजिस्टेंट है। इसे पता चलता है कि उस समय भी भारत की मेटलर्जी कितनी उन्नत थी। स्पष्ट है कि भारत की विरासत केवल एक इतिहास नहीं है, भारत की विरासत एक विज्ञान भी है.
Professor Vipul Singh, my question is also directed at the aesthetic and the beauty of these monuments and sites which attracts tourists. My question also relates to the time and effort that's gone into building it, and the legacy of these monuments in today's times, not just in terms of revenue, but also in terms of the culture that comes with it.
When these monuments were erected, and obviously the kind of beauty that you see around, if you visit Qutub Minar is just one of it. And then you have many monuments around Qutub. That's why we call it as a Qutub complex. There are so many visitors in the Qutub complex. It's not only the Qutub Minar which attracts the tourists. And I think one of the reasons why such monuments and such sites, they have attracted so many tourists, is also we should not forget the role of the Archaeological Survey of India and the way they have conserved these monuments. So as we know that ASI is one of the premier organizations of archaeological research and conservation in India, and it maintains whole number of monuments all around. So it not only conserves, it maintains those monuments and ensures that the public access to these heritage sites is done properly, and then it is maintained properly. And then you will visit many of the sites, you will see the museums are maintained. So all these ticketing process education programs, these are all part of the ASI duties. So ASI has a very important role to play. We must complement the way ASI has been able to maintain these heritage sites. So these sites, when they were erected, when the rulers went, then the British rule came. So there was obviously a huge gap in between. And then possibly these sites were not maintained so very well. But then in independent India, I think the role of ASI has come into picture, and they have been able to successfully maintain all these sites because their site management itself is so very important.
Dr. Saxena, Professor Vipul Singh mentioned about the Lodis, Tughlaqs, the Mughals, and then the British as well, and what their legacy has been as part of India itself, whether in the form of colonial empires or colonial empire building itself. He also spoke about the role of the Archaeological Survey of India. The theme of UNESCO, Dr. Saxena, is that the heritage is under threat from disaster and conflict. So how does the government of India, when it wants to preserve these monuments and sites and also to ensure that the annual revenue is not affected, how do they ensure that these sites are protected? What kind of awareness programs, conservation efforts, community development and sustainable practices are carried out?
That is a very important thing, because this year's theme of ECOMOS is disaster preparedness and conflict resilience. Because so many sites in the world, they are not being properly conserved and preserved. So what India started in 2017 under Prime Minister Modi ji, adopt a heritage scheme was started under corporate social responsibility funds. And so far 21 MOUs are signed by private parties, including ITDC and big corporates with ASI. So we are in the process of preserving our ancient monuments, and this is main concern of UNESCO also. Because when I was trying to get Delhi inscribed, the main problem was getting the notification and a signed document from CPWD, other authorities, DD, etc., that they will preserve all these monuments. It is a great challenge, but at the same time, ASI has taken good interest, and they are doing from cultural point of view as well as tourism point of view, because they have started one initiative that you must see some monuments. There is website of ASI, asimustsee.nic.in, where they invite people to see all these documents. And as Professor Vipul pointed out, I would like to add that Kartarpur Corridor, then Ujjain Temple, Chardham, Yatra, all are being made comfortable so that more and more tourists visit, particularly foreign tourists. And I tell you, as regards revenue, one foreign tourist visit of 22 days gives one job to Indian. It's like this. Or 25 plus domestic tourists give one job to one Indian. It is like this. Our economy, substantial amount is based on our tourism foreign exchange.
Dr. Saxena, do also tell us about how older monuments now given a modern touch to keep them relevant. You can give us the example of Red Fort, where you have an inbuilt museum which shows about the development of this historic monument from the Mughal times. Also, Teen Murti Bhavan has been preserved while adding the Pradhan Mantri Sanghralaya in its glory too.
It's a very important point, and Professor Vipul has already pointed out. I would take one example. Like, you might have seen that Humayun Tomb is totally renovated, because conservation is from same material, same red stone, and with Sundar nursery and all that. If you visit that whole area of Humayun Tomb, it is purely worth watching, and number of tourists have increased. We have to pay much attention to our old monuments like Hampi and these temples, where we have to spend more money to attract more tourists. Revenue earning is also important criterion, but ASI is not having that much money as expected. So that's why they have come out with the policy of adopt a heritage. So I think more and more corporate bodies will come forward and get CSR funds to preserve and adopt a monument.
Professor Vipul Singh, with the Department of History, Delhi University, since you teach history, how important is it for the young generation, those who are studying in schools and colleges, to be visiting these monuments and sites so that they have an idea firsthand of what the legacy is, and more importantly, what we pass on to our future generation?
If we look at the NEP, National Education Policy, which has recently been implemented both at the school level and at the university level, there is much emphasis on this kind of knowledge. And the visit to sites is actually part of hands-on information that the students get. And I think there is a marked departure from what we have been doing in history earlier on. And in early history teaching, what we were doing, that we confined our students, our school children, to books. And I think that has been taken care of in the NEP. And now the students are expected to visit these various sites. In that fashion, what we do is that we involve the children, we sensitize the children from childhood itself, that these are important monuments and we have to maintain and preserve them. So it is very painful when you go to complex like the Old Fort or maybe Kutub Complex or many other monuments. I mean, you will find that there are permanent marks being done by many of the visitors, which is very painful. And they don't actually understand the importance and significance of these monuments, and that's why they do it. So I think it is very important that from very childhood we sensitize them, that these are very important ones. And I think NEP has taken care of all this. That's one of the vision of the NEP also, apart from many other things. That's why, you know, history is one discipline of social science which actually not only builds the kind of knowledge of history among the student, but it also gives them an analytical thinking. And I think many of our students actually go into tourism sector because they have this information and knowledge. And when tourism grows, these same children who have been trained, who have studied history at the graduation and master's level, can do a great service to the tourism sector, especially when these ancient and medieval sites are to be visited by the tourists. So they can work as guides and for the foreigners. And that's why many of our students also learn some foreign languages so that they are able to guide them in their own languages, the foreigners. You know, one of the points, I think this is very important, that we need to also involve the community. And why I always say that community involvement is so very important, because if you go to Rani Ki Vav in Gujarat, this is one of the very important stepwells, that, and it's a huge stepwell, very beautiful stepwell that tourists go and visit. But there are not as many tourists as we see in Delhi. And I think one of the reasons why Rani Ki Vav has not seen so many tourists is also because of the fact that earlier there were no infrastructure. Now that there are very rapid transport system developed and you can reach from Delhi, you can reach within an hour to Rani Ki Vav. And then the number is increasing tremendously over the years. And I think there in Rani Ki Vav, you know, it is actually following, not exactly following any model from somewhere, but then it is actually involving a lot of local people. And it is generating employment for the local communities. You know, at the end of a village, you cross many villages and you go to the Rani Ki Vav site, and you'll find that there is a whole lot of shops and many local tourists who are actually local people who have become guide to the tourists. So I think these kind of measures have really been done by the state. And I think developing these rapid road transport, many of the trains that are being run, I think the Bharat Gaurav trains operated under IRCTC, which is also very important. And another very important circuit which has been developed by the government is the Buddhist circuit.
Yeah. What Professor Vipul has said, I would like to add that you may be surprised that in CBSE, there is a website for adopting of lesser known monuments by schools and do poetry, essay writing, photography and cleaning, etc., with permission of concerned ASI authority. And it was a very successful program. And also in Jabalpur, Smart City was taking up. 100 schools were interested because Jabalpur has got ancient monuments and all that. So they started it. Another thing I would like to add, film shooting. Bollywood has created interest amongst tourists. For example, I give you one example. Agarsen Ki Bawli in Delhi. PK film was being shot. Cats Aptarit in Agarsen Ki Bawli. Some scenes are there. Some scenes are of Delhi heart also. 1,000 people daily visit Agarsen Ki Bawli after PK film shooting. So some monuments are also made popular by our film shooting. This is a very good idea what Professor Vipul has said, that some school children and NEP has also described, CBSE should propagate this thing, that more and more school children adopt for lesser known monuments, and bigger monuments should be taken up by big corporate bodies under CSR.
Dr. Saxena, that's a very interesting point where film shootings and locations can be selected and paid for on the basis of the heritage sites that you mentioned, and how it's being adopted also by different types of companies under the CSR, and more importantly, adopted by trusts as well. I want to ask you the next question, which is that the associated industry that benefits from tourism, because a tourist comes and they buy mementos, something to remember the place by. It's not just in terms of taking photographs and selfies that tourists typically engage in, but a hard memento. How is the art and craft industry benefited from this?
See, art, craft is cultural, and also one thing we are forgetting, cuisines, Indian cuisines. All are very, very famous. I tell you, Bhojpuri music. Unfortunately, or fortunately, in Mauritius, when Geet Gawai is inscribed as cultural heritage in Bhojpuri literature, when our Prime Minister Modi ji visited Mauritius recently, he was welcomed with Geet Gawai song, which was sung by those who migrated from Bihar. So, intangible heritage, art, culture, the very, very important things in all the world is watching. One thing, India is sixth in the rank of World Heritage Sites. As Professor Vipul pointed out, Italy is having 60 monuments inscribed and it is number one. We are sixth. We are almost catching up China. So, under Travel and Tourism Development Index, TTDI, we are 39 in world ranking. And we can increase more and more if we submit data to them, because when these foreign tourists, what they see, foreign investors as well as tourists, they see what is our TTDI ranking, what is our monuments ranking, because India is almost number 5 or 6 in the ranking about price competitive index. So these are all things we should exploit.
Professor Vipul Singh, I would like to now ask you, there are other aspects to pop culture as well. How does that get incorporated in our history learning and, of course, the heritage of India?
I think, you know, so far as popular culture, of course, you know, these different regional languages, and then there are many, you know, interesting rhythmical folk songs that are still sung in the village area, rural areas. And I think when the tourists go to Jaisalmer, when the tourists go and visit Jaisalmer, they not only go and see the, you know, the huge desert, then you also have these camps, the night camps that, where the tourists stay. And then you have those, you know, Rajasthani folk songs being sung by them, and then the dances. So they enjoy a lot. And I think that has a role to play. You know, the heritage tourism is not only about sites. It is also about the involvement of these tourists into this kind of a culture, the cultural heritage that we have. And I think, you know, different regions of India, not only Rajasthan, different regions of India, like, for example, if you visit Orissa, they have Orissa tourism circuit has festivals in Puri and Bhubaneswar, and then you have Konark dance festival held there. So, I mean, they are, because all these regions have different, you know, classical dance traditions also. So I think this is, it encompasses, the heritage tourism encompasses not only the monuments, but also the culture, that the rich culture that India has. And I think cultural heritage is a very important part, which is also taught to the students in history.
Right.
So in Indian history, we teach a lot about the, you know, the cultural, rich cultural heritage that we have. And we talk about various regional cultures, regional languages, the vernaculars. In fact, we teach a lot of vernacular literature to our students to sensitize them that what exactly these vernacular literatures are. And so, you know, I think, you know, in history writing, what we say is that there has been so many centuries of rule by, you know, the colonial powers, that there was a big gap in the way we understood our heritage. And those cultures, I think there is a need to revive those regional cultures. And the government is taking a lot of efforts, not only in these main parts of India, but, you know, the recent emphasis of the government of India on reviving the Northeastern culture is so very important.
Right.
There is a special instruction in the NEP program to include Northeast into the teaching. So, I mean, these are the various things that we do in the college teaching, at the university level teaching, at the school level teaching. And I think, you know, these are the very visions that the Prime Minister has. And I think, you know, his Virasat Bhi, Vikas Bhi concept,
right,
I think will prove very well for India, not only economically,
right,
but I think culturally also.
Dr. Saxena, my final question to you, and we're running out of time, is what kind of metrics can you give me in terms of travel and tourism, hotel stay? Because post-COVID, it was always an issue with hotels being all running empty. But because of the boost to travel and tourism, the hotel industry has picked up. You mentioned about cuisines. What about fashion as well? Do you have any metrics to explain the surrounding economy at the World Heritage Sites in India?
We have shortage of almost 10 lakhs rooms as compared to number of foreign tourists and domestic tourists. You might be noticing that in Mahakumbh we had tented city. In all other new Kevadia and other places, new tourist places, we have to take up tents because number of hotels cannot fulfill the requirement. Because after COVID, I was requested by a group of ministers to give recommendations from travel and tourism sector. So I gave recommendation to Ministry of Tourism that number of homestays. I have done my PhD in homestays. Once Mr. Chesky, Airbnb CEO, visited Honorable Prime Minister, and he told our Prime Minister, if you give me some concessions, I will double the number of foreign tourists. So right. I wrote an article in Millennium Post, and it is in my book also, on homestays, second book, my, that homestays, if properly managed, registered, and made open to some rich families who have number of rooms vacant.
Dr. Saxena, I think right. our listeners have been able to understand the importance of homestays and rental opportunities for tourists who can visit the World Heritage Sites in India. I would like to thank both our esteemed experts, Dr. Gigi Saxena, member, National Tourism Advisory Council, and Professor Vipul Singh, Department of History at Delhi University, for the in-depth discussion on the significance of the World Heritage Day, which is April 18. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on the significance of World Heritage Day. The participants were Dr. G.G. Saxena, member, National Tourism Advisory Council, and Professor Vipul Singh from Department of History, Delhi University. The moderator was Arjun Chaudhary. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.